That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen at kntrtalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Dwayne Johnson calls for a stunt double, who does The Rock turn to?
No police!
When Ham the astroturf said, no more space flights. Who did great minds at NASA turn to?
No police!
Now, this world-renowned actor slash daredevil has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only... He's the poster child for no cloning. Paul LaVoy.
No cloning, eh? What do you think about that, Brian?
Cloning?
Yeah. Well,
my pro-cloning or anti-cloning?
No, I'm the poster child for no cloning. Me? Okay, don't answer that.
Yeah, how are you ever? Too much of a good thing is not a good thing. How
I don't
would
wanna
that
lead,
be?
I don't want to lead Brian into
would that be,
deep thoughts.
Would that be a nice thing to say?
I don't want to lead Brian into a deep thoughts with Jack Handy segment this early in the show. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. It's January 7, 2021. Great to have Brian Springberg back in the studio. Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. I like this hour, and I'm going to tell you why, especially today.
Okay.
Well, I don't have to talk the entire hour because I did a lot of singing last night, and I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but it's not optimum.
Gotcha.
So, anyway, you'll like this news. This is a little housekeeping, just real quick.
Break it down.
Before you jump into the business section,
yeah.
Like I know you want to.
Yeah.
But college basketball tonight, and I know you're a fan.
Yep.
Indiana Hoosiers at Wisconsin at 4:45. On the sports station,
great.
980 AM and 94.3 and 100.5 FM. But no more Wildcats basketball.
Hmm?
Yeah. Where's the justice, right?
Wow.
Brian went to U of A.
Yeah.
And Sparky, of course, went to ASU.
Correct.
So Mike McAndrew beat Sparky.
Yeah, my business partner.
So ASU basketball tonight, debuting on the sports station, ASU at home against UCLA, the only thing I don't like about ASU, Brian, is Bobby Hurley, their coach, because he used to play for Indiana.
Oh, I got a long list of things I don't like about ASU. Go.
Anyway, Bobby Hurley used to be the UNLV killer. So, ASU basketball tonight at home against U Clowns Lose Again, or UCLA, 8:30 p.m. So late start. We'll have both games because of that. And, Fear the Fork. On the sports station.
Not so much.
Sun Devil basketball through the season.
Yeah, well, the only fear I have of the fork is that I used it way too dang much over the holidays.
Nice.
And now I'm,
that's
yeah,
awesome.
Good segue. Now
that's
I'm trying
great segue.
To battle it off, right?
Yeah. So Uber Eats and Grubhub and that, you raised their stock? Is that what you're telling me?
A little bit of that. Mostly just cooking
and
cookies.
And cookie. Oh, I know.
Cooking and cookies.
And Hershey's Kisses. The candy and the brittle and just get rid of it.
So, just a good year in the stock market turned phenomenal, since the election. So, over the years, I've talked so much about, all ranges of subjects, but, particularly in election years, we get into the weeds a little bit about how much credence do we put in it? And people tend to try to put fear into, politics or over exuberance into politics, into what to expect based upon who's president and that kind of thing. And I've always tried to discount that. And as we talked about, the stock market priced a Biden win in probably late summer or so when he was up, you know, 10% in the polls, ended up winning by 4%. Presidential politics obviously weren't an issue because since, you know, the election November, early November, the stock market has blossomed tremendously. And then the question mark, I expected that, but the question mark I did have in my mind was, in the outside chance that the Democrats take the Senate and there was an easier pathway to an agenda from Wall Street's point of view, which may not be favorable from a taxation point of view, what would happen in the market? And lo and behold, the last 2 days, the market is up 450, 460 in the Dow yesterday, currently up 220 today. So huge movements to the upside since that occurred, even with a riot at the Capitol. And so the question you may be having is, how's that happening? Because I've heard all this, and especially out in a conservative area like this, everybody, of course, is speculating that now we're suddenly going to become a bunch of communists, and small businesses are all going to go under, and the stock market's going to plunge 40%. I think the president said that 28 times. If Biden wins, you can kiss the stock market goodbye. Well, you know, not true. But with relative to taxation, I did have a question mark, but something is overridden Wall Street's concerns about the possibility of the highest tax bracket going from back to 39.6 from 37 if you make over $400,000 a year, or capital gains taxes going up if you make more than $1 million a year, and things of that, or the corporate tax bracket going not where it was before President Trump won, but halfway to where it was before he won. So 35% to 21%, and then the proposal is 28% now. And the market certainly has shrugged all that off, but why? Because obviously, I don't care who you are. If you simultaneously cut taxes and increase spending, which is what happened the last 4 years, increasing our national deficit dramatically over where it was actually when over President Obama's last 3 years, any stock market's going to do well. It's barring outside interference from geopolitical events, etc. It's not rocket science, right? It's like, hey, you put a bunch of money on your credit card and go crazy spending it, you're going to get a benefit from it in the short term, at least. And so the fact that the market did well during that period of time is not a surprise, but here we are now and we're all kind of going, okay, some of that's going away that stimulated that. But one part is not going away, and that's the spending. Mm-hmm. And Wall Street loves that. Do not confuse the better health of this country all the time with taxes getting cut and money being spent, because they are not always to the betterment of the country. That coming from a financial advisor who's been doing it 26 years, who makes a decent living, who hates taxes as much as the next guy. But in the big picture, spending is the question mark. And so what Wall Street is looking at is, I think, two things. One is a commitment to more stimulus as the coronavirus rages over the next couple of months and hopefully gets under control, by late spring, early summer. But, $2,000 checks. And Wall Street says, great, more money, liquidity in the economy, people spending, spurring, obviously corporate profits to increase and therefore stocks to do well. And then the second part is that although it's been talked about for many, many years, decades, that infrastructure of this country has been crumbling for some time. You know it, I know it. All you got to do is go for a drive on I-40 you know, either direction, and you're like, what on earth is going on here? Funny. And that's just, I mean, there's railroads and bridges.
It used to be state lines. You went into California, the roads were nice. You went into Arizona, they were bad.
You knew where you
next
were.
Next state. But now they're all bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So infrastructure spending is a huge priority, and now with all three branches, not all three branches, but all, you know, the House, the Senate, and the presidency, all under one party, it's more than likely going to happen. And again, that spending is going to stimulate the economy, especially that kind of spending, right? Because that is good paying jobs, that's buying materials, that's all those things. And so I'm always of the point of view that was like, if we're going to spend money we don't have, which I hate, but if we're going to, that was always my favorite thing to do it on, because it actually is so meaningful on every level. It's actual jobs. It's well-paying jobs. It's jobs with benefits. It's, you know, buying materials. It's really a great thing for the economy. But what should worry me and you is the same thing that should have been worrying you and me for the last, you know, 4 years, and that is that we dramatically increased our deficit spending in the last 4 years. I don't care if it was President Trump, if it was President Obama, if it was the man on the moon, it happened. And I've been beating that drum on the show. And so now that we know the direction that politically we're going to be going, boy, if we could somehow find a way to go back to deficit reduction that occurred dramatically when, you know, Clinton was president for 8 years, where we actually had a balanced budget, which was like, you know, the only time in, I don't know, 30, 40 years or something.
As a news
some
person,
ridiculous number.
I would say allegedly we had a balanced budget. That's just a news thing. So,
okay.
Anyway.
So briefly we had one.
Yes.
And so if we could go that direction, but you know, that's obviously seems like a stretch given, you know, the state of the state, so to speak. So we'll see. But you know, the S&P 5, your U.S. stock market is at all-time highs today,
right?
In spite of everything that you were concerned about. And so if you were somebody who put credence in, quite honestly, the disinformation that you were getting fed, and you know, hopefully now you're like, okay, I was wrong. There is an objective way to look at these things, and a good financial advisor, not just me, but a good financial advisor, regardless of politics, should be able to help you navigate that in fact, is typically and has typically been the case.
Well, while we're on the topic of spending, now, I've heard Anthony Fauci say this could go into the fall. Okay, you were talking about the next 2-3 months. He's talking about the fall. And I'm hearing hints of quantitative easing again. Are you hearing those same rumors?
I haven't heard that. I think that they're going to continue to be pretty aggressive. But so let's go back again in time when I was complaining about the significant tax cuts that took place, not because I wasn't for them, but I hated the timing of it because I know that the economy is cyclical. And if you're going to lower interest rates when times are great, not good,
sure, but
great, and then you're going to do all kinds of things, you know, such as and cutting taxes and cutting interest rates and all these things when times are already great, what are you going to do when things don't go great, which obviously happens? And when you use all of those arrows in your quiver and you reach back over your shoulder to grab an arrow and it's not there, we're in trouble. So I hope and pray that we don't get in a situation where that stuff is needed, because right now there is not a lot of room to go with quantitative easing. There is not, I mean, we've been left with almost no room to go. And so when and if, you know, if and when the economy falters, what they're going to do, I hope they are not through the fact that they shouldn't have been able to do it because they should have had more tools at their disposal, but the current administration without those tools at their disposal is going to be in a tough spot because they're going to probably want to hold on to those longer than typically they should have because we just don't have a lot to go. So it's going to be an interesting time if we get to that point. But right now, economically, we seem pretty darn sound, pretty darn strong. And don't forget that we're also pushing really hard. You know, Arizona is the worst place for coronavirus in the world.
I want to talk about that
article. I didn't read the details on it, but I saw that headline. I didn't have a chance to read the details on it. I was like, what? How is that? And so to finish my point, Paul, is that we are pushing hard that no matter how bad things are here, that we really need not only our country, but the rest of the world to recover sooner than later, and should, because globally we are always in this together, and we export a huge amount, and so American companies, American workers don't just rely on the American economy, we are relying on the world's economy to buy our goods and services here, and so the world's recovery from coronavirus and the world's strength economically are things that we always are going to want to have, to be able to keep our strength going. And so it's going to be interesting. But I can tell you that the stock market has priced in those things happening. The stock market assumes we're going to get this coronavirus under control. We're going to get enough people vaccinated, and, you know, we're going to be okay.
I did a story on a state newscast recently that had Arizona. It was before the number one in the world story. It was a couple days before that. It was number one in the nation in the rate of infection. And with all of our freedoms and businesses open in that, it doesn't surprise me. Mm. But you know who number two was?
Mm-mm.
California.
Yeah.
On lockdown.
Yeah.
But they're still number two.
Yeah.
So which way do you go? That just goes to confirm my argument. It's a virus, and what are you going to do?
Well, you're going to wear a mask, and you're going to social distance.
You're
going to
protect
yourself. But, right. And so.
And others.
Yeah. And so not doing those things, obviously, is.
Sure.
Sorry. If you don't agree? Too bad. It's ridiculous not taking those precautions.
Right.
But it is an interesting point and question, though, because I've often thought of that. I'm like, okay, super strict and, you know, don't tread on me. I'm going to do what I want mentalities. Uh-huh. Yet you still have these outbreaks.
The same outcome for both.
Similar. Yeah. But it doesn't mean that the causation is the same.
I got you.
In other words, population centers way more dense in California would make more sense. Arizona, it would be probably a lot less severe, but because even though our population centers aren't as dense, we flouted basically the things that might have helped it being as bad. You know, here we are. I mean, look at Lake Havasu. You know, look at Mojave County. There's, if we hadn't been flouting things, it wouldn't be anywhere like it is today. How many people do you know in ICU right now? I know six.
Oh, I don't know any.
I know six.
Oh, okay.
ICU. And three of them are under the age of 50.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it's not that small of an item. Not to go too crazy on that tangent, but it is very relative to how quickly, like I was saying, the economy can recover and we can continue to see strength. Because believe me, if coronavirus doesn't get under control, the fact that the stock market's priced in that it has, it will correct. The market will go down as a direct result of that if this drags out longer than expected.
Don't let this song end.
Oh, yeah, sitting on the dock of the bay.
I had to chill you out for a second, man. Anyway, sound advice with Brian Springberg. Brian came up with great suggestions today. A little Otis Redding. Otis, my man. Oh, that's a different Otis.
Yeah. Animal House.
All right, back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie along with Brian Springberg. We'll be right back in a moment. Gotta love it, a little Otis Redding on this first sound advice for 2021. I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, GDK CPA LLC, Verizon Community Bank, Patio Paradise, Connected Computer and Technology, smarter than the average geek, and, of course, Springberg McAndrew Financial Services, who brings you this segment. If you miss any of our shows, we stream live at KNTRTalk.com, but you can catch the archives there as well. KNTRTalk.com, where you can get some breaking news from yesterday. Can you say that, breaking news from yesterday, Brian?
Yesterday's breaking news.
About the Freedom Bridge Foundation and the Havasu Pioneers section of the walkway that they're going to be laying down. That is posted online, by the way, at KNTRTalk.com. You have a phone call. Somebody wants to talk to you, Brian. Hmm. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hi, Brian. I'm just curious why when we're having so much opportunity for the medical industry to expand, why they're not making lemonade now that they have some lemons. I was just curious why that's not being talked about.
I'm not following what you're
The concerns with the virus is that the hospitals are being overloaded.
Right.
So why aren't the hospitals planning to expand?
Oh, because it's temporary.
Oh, so the past year is just temporary, and they're talking about going on for another year. So somehow all this turns out to be just temporary.
I have a question,
right,
Brian.
In other words, what so you start building a hospital, and a year later, your hospital's completed, and the coronavirus is 80% vanquished.
But are the hospitals full because of coronavirus or because of a combination of coronavirus patients, heart patients, you know, surgery, that sort of thing?
Well, the answer is they're full because of the coronavirus, because those other things already existed, not causing them to be full. So the fact that you've got something extraordinary that exists, which after vaccination theoretically would be evaporated, would mean that then it would go back. So the causation of overload and why there's ambulances sitting way outside the hospitals waiting to get in, and why people are being flown and they can't even go to their local hospital and they're being flown out of state and all that, is strictly related to the fact that they've got their normal load, caseloads, plus, you know, another whatever, 10, 20, 150, whatever it is, serious cases of the coronavirus. So, yeah. But that's temporary. So nobody puts hundreds of millions of dollars into infrastructure for something that's going to be around for a couple of years.
From what I'm seeing, they don't plan on this ever ending. They want it to continue because it gives them so much control, both sides.
You're thinking that there's some kind of a conspiracy to not eradicate the coronavirus as quickly as we could?
I think Kenny's referring
it's not there right now anyway.
Kenny, it's like I referred to earlier.
It's just the flu.
Dr. Fauci is saying that it's going to last through the fall. Okay. Then you have other people saying it's only going to be a couple more months because we have a vaccine now. I disagree with Kenny, though, that it's just the flu. It's more than the flu.
Yeah, that's
obviously. There's a lot of people suffering from what you're calling the flu.
Yeah, it's a,
and it always has been that way. It's always been a suffering through the flu. I've had all the flu epidemics there for the last 73 years, and it's always been suffering for me when I had the flu. It never hasn't been suffering. Why is it such a big deal this time? I'm not getting it.
Oh, well, you know, if you can't get the fact that it's 10 times more likely to be spread, and the fact that it's killing, you know, people, and that it's overriding our hospitals, and that it's considerably more serious than the flu, then there's nothing that could be said for you to understand that, because it's not a question of fact, or it's not a question, it's not opinion, it's the way it is.
The numbers are fraud.
Oh, okay. Well, why don't you go to the hospital today, Kenny, and have a conversation with the nurses and the doctors and the patients there, and why don't you interview them and ask them how bad of a fraud it is? That's the best way to find out, I think.
The same thing from Denise Burley. The numbers, the numbers, the numbers. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm not seeing it. I took my sister to the hospital, to the emergency rooms, 3 weeks ago because she didn't have enough oxygen when she was in the store with her mask on, and she started blacking out. So I took her to the emergency room, and after about 4 hours of them putting oxygen into her, she was all right. But there wasn't any problem getting in there. There wasn't any big jam up of services or anything like that being denied. It was easy to get in and it was easy to get out.
Well, I mean, all I can say is I just assume that, you know, your point is that, you know, millions of healthcare workers and doctors are all in a conspiracy to make this up, and that it's way worse, and that, that none of these things are actually happening. So my point is that if you are at a point in your life or your perspective, and unable at this point to decipher real information from false information, or you know, I you know, at this juncture, you know, it's happening. You know, people are finally believing it more and more so because it's actually personalized now. In other words, they know people who have got it severely, or who have passed away, or things like that. So it's you know, I can't answer to how you've come around to that, or quite honestly, a lot of other people have come around to that conclusion. But I will argue, you know, that, you know, what you're saying and thinking and the numbers are all wrong, you know, certainly has no resemblance to the reality of what's happening across the United States.
But more importantly, back to the original question, why aren't hospitals expanding?
Well, I told you why.
Because it's short term.
Because it's short, yeah. I mean, yeah. You're going to have a vaccination. You're going to have a cure. Why would you put, right, you know, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in infrastructure for something that once vaccinated, you know, would rapidly reduce the requirement for them to have those, right, facilities? So there's no making lemonade out of it from a long-term perspective.
So without going round and round, Kenny, do you have any other questions?
No, thank you very much. We're getting out of your realm of expertise, but I thank you for your answers anyway.
Well, I'm glad we're in yours. Thanks, right, Kenny.
Thanks, Kenny.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's go ahead and take a short break. That's, yeah, well, like I said, it'll just go round and round. We could do that for an hour, right?
Well, that's what I said. There's no sense in talking to anybody, honestly, in my opinion, who, there's no, in terms of trying to talk them out of that opinion, because if you can't use facts to change your mind, then there's no change in somebody's mind, so I don't worry about trying.
Well, back in the early days of the pandemic, they limited the patients that were, remember, the non-essentials, and if you could put off your heart surgery, put it off, and we're only dealing with these. I'm not seeing that now. That's what,
oh,
and
sure,
they're saying. Are they doing it again?
Okay. Absolutely. Yep.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and it's regional, right, of course. Some places are, sure, worse than others. They're whether they have to ration or whether they're starting to suggest that elective surgeries. It depends upon how bad it is in the area you're in. So,
well, Brian had the quote of the day off the air with, "Do you mind if we dance with your dates?" So I thought we'd play some Otis. Go from Otis Redding to Otis Day. That is the name of the song, Shamalama Ding Dong.
Sure.
Good call from Animal House. All right, Brian Springberg and Sound Advice will continue. I'm Paul Lavoie. Stay with us. We'll be back after a short break.
Stronger than the other. No one else can compare. Stronger than the highest mountain and the deepest sea. Shamalama, baby, shamalama, ding dong. Hey, you put the ooh, ma, ma.
All right, the late, great Wilson Pickett. Very popular choice among the bands out there, by the way, Brian. And Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Community College, also Chagru's Family of Restaurants, Better Business Bureau, SamsGuns.com, SunPower by SMA Electric, Big Sky Insurance, Herb's Herbs, and by the Lewis team, Bobby Lewis, Julie Lewis, Brian Vesley, and Lori Rule from Coldwell Banker Realty. And Speak Out 2.0 returns today with Larry Tuneforce, his guest, Amanda Stevens. Ooh, this sounds good right now. Dutch Bros Coffee. She owns the Dutch Bros Coffee in Bullhead City. Mm. And Grace Hecht from an organization called Make Bullhead Better.
Mm.
Yeah, one of those just, you know, wants to make Bullhead better. So she started a little community organization.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Like it.
So that's Speak Out 2.0 after Speak Out, of course.
So crazy year in the financial markets, hard to read, all over the map. And so, you know, what are some of the takeaways, I guess? So leave you with some thoughts about, you know, what happened in the market. So by far, the thing that led the market was tech. And that's no surprise, right? Because you had, you know, imposed lockdowns. You had self-imposed lockdowns. You had, you know, the economy really shutting down quite a bit, except if you were able to sit at your computer all day and get on Facebook and get and order stuff on Amazon and et cetera. And those companies, those FANG stocks, all absolutely blew up. And so if you happen to have those in part of your portfolio, you hit a grand slam. The U.S. stock market, the a huge chunk of it finally coming, like I said, at the end of the year, ended up 16% to the good in the S&P 500, the largest 500 companies in the U.S. Interestingly enough, though, the Dow Jones, the thing that most people look at, you know, when you say, oh, the market's up 230 or it's up 500 or no, that's the Dow. That's only 30 industrial stocks. That ended the year up 7.2%. So what that tells you is that the broad market, which now includes a number of large tech stock companies, was able to prosper as a result of those tech. And if you were only in tech, you more than likely absolutely killed it, like did phenomenally. And so there were winners in that scenario in what was a pretty bizarre year, to say the least. So if we look at, you know, last year as a result, you know, who were the biggest winners just in general categories? Silver had a huge year in 2020. People actually, I've had two clients ask me recently about getting into it, and I point out to it like, well, not to say that it can't go up, but last year was a huge year. And so the risk is much more high because it's already reaped a lot of the upside. The NASDAQ, which is the more technological stock laden index here in the U.S., the NASDAQ 100 and the NASDAQ Composite, both up 44 to 47% or so for 2020. Information tech up 42%. And if you, you know, you wanted to get into the commodities, you know, if you were heavy into soybeans, not that I was or knew, but soybeans ended up the year up about 40%, or so.
Hopefully you weren't into oil futures, right?
So, well, that's the thing. So if you go all the way down to the oil, I'm sorry, to, you know, the downside and what didn't do well, utilities did not do well.
Oh, really?
Last year. Mm-hmm. Well, utilities can be a safe harbor. So if you see the economy really falter itself, not the market, but the economy,
so
then utilities you may see do well.
They're
considered
consistent.
A safe haven. Exactly.
Okay, gotcha.
And can do well. And also, if people are using less utilities because so many people are out of work or the economy's down and less people making money or more people making less money or what have you, then you can definitely see a negative effect as usage can certainly you know, go down in that regard. And so, interesting year in the market. They certainly don't perfectly reflect the economy because remember at one point when the market was already starting its recovery when we still had 40 million people out of work. And so the divergence from the stock market to Main Street, or what we might, some people might call the real economy, was never more evident and never more polar in its extremes than this year, which is not necessarily a great sign for a healthy society and healthy economy. You would certainly want those two things to be closer aligned. It does pay not to try to time the markets. Perfect example. So if you're somebody who thinks, well, if I use an advisor, they're going to know when to say, hey, listen, the market's going down. You need to get out on the sideline now. Well, just imagine if you had taken that mentality in February and March of last year, when the market did go down 35% at one point here in the U.S., Well, only to see it recover and then look where it ended up the year. And you're saying, but yeah, but you would have known. I'm like, no, nobody would have known when the recovery. I mean, the news that was coming out when the market was covering was that there was 40 million people out of work and, you know, where's this thing going? And obviously we didn't know how bad it were or how good or how fast the recovery is on, you know, the science by the nature of what, how science works was continually evolving, meaning they did their best guess. They got some of it right. They got some of it dead wrong. And then they improve it. I mean, that's how science works. And so the markets trying to react to that and you trying to interpret that was a strong lesson in don't jump in and out, especially as a long-term investor, because it's so hard to read if you're doing it in very short periods of time. The other thing, too, is forecast are literally just guesses. And my experience exactly. is, you know, Brian, where do you think the market's going? Well, my response is going to be a bunch of variables that could make it positive and make it negative, plus the idea that there's some variables that could come into play that nobody had thought of that could also cause it to be positive or negative.
I do weather forecasts every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what they are, guesses.
Forecast.
Hopefully. It's an educated guess.
In the short term. and so you can't put too much
right.
over credence into what the analysts and the pundits are saying. Don't forget, when you're looking at a panel on TV, on the financial channels, you know, you're going to have half saying it's going to be great, half saying it's going to be terrible, and then you're going to see somebody who gets it right occasionally, and they get a bunch of press and FaceTime, but ultimately they'll be wrong for a period of time afterwards. Don't put all your eggs into I heard or I read, because those rarely are consistently correct. Not to say they're never correct, but to say that that is a not a a way to go about trying to be a successful investor. Mm-hmm. Tech trade is only getting bigger. I mean, in other words, everything tied to technology. I mean, look at Zoom. You know, I was using Zoom sporadically a couple of years ago.
Really?
Sure.
I thought everyone was using Skype.
So yeah,
now all you hear about is Zoom.
But I'm saying a couple of years ago, sure. But then last year, if you had never heard of Zoom a day in your life, you knew Zoom now. I mean, Zoom stock went up, I think, like 400% last year,
yeah,
as a direct result of what occurred in there. And then you look at other things that were, you know, growth stocks that still found ways around, you know, what occurred, and restaurants with delivery services, and some of them prospered in it. So tech got bigger, and I think one of the things you're going to see now, especially with a Democratic-controlled government, is a serious look at breaking up big tech.
You think so?
Uh-huh.
I don't think any of them want to tackle it, to be truthful.
Well, that remains to be seen. At some point, you got to question monopolies, and you got to question how much control. Although, like I've said earlier on the show, the thing I never expected would be that the pressure that the public can put on corporations to be socially responsible might actually do better things for this world and the environment, or, you know, doing the right thing without government dictating it, because society dictated it. That was a refreshing surprise to me in some cases, not all, but some cases, sure, this past year. And so, but there's a point where that amount of power and sheer volume of, you know, wealth is something that can control the trajectory of society and a country way more than you would want. And it's questionably kind of going down that road. So it'll be interesting to see. But it doesn't change the fact that the tech trade only got bigger, meaning more companies in that environment, and the companies that were already in there just got bigger.
Right, right. All right, let's take a short break. You ready for this?
Do it.
All right, little Sam and Dave.
Oh, nice.
You didn't think of that, did you?
Well, Sam Cook, but I didn't say Sam Dave.
Sam and Dave, baby. Hold on, I'm coming. All right, we'll be back after a short break. I wanted to leave Brian a little bit of time at the end because he's always got some sound advice for you. Ha ha, how's that?
Love
Paul LaVoy, Brian Springberg and myself. We'll be back after a short break.
The views expressed on Speak Out are not necessarily the opinion of KNTR Talk 106.3 FM and should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities that would be mentioned therein. Investing is subject to risk involving loss of principal invested. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure a profit nor protect against loss. Please note that individual situations may vary, therefore the information should be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Securities and investment advisory services offered through SagePoint Financial, member of FINRA, SIPC. SagePoint Financial is separately owned, and other entities or marketing names, products, or services referenced in here are independent of SagePoint Financial.
He's leaving. On that midnight train to Georgia.
Leaving on the midnight train.
Yeah. Said he's going back.
Going back to find.
To a simpler place and time.
Take that ride.
You remember back in the day, Brian, there was a, I think it was an ad, I'm Gladys Knight, and we're the Pips. You remember that?
I don't.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was, but the immortal, that's one I'll call immortal, Gladys Knight. She's phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Just a phenomenal
talent. I agree. Brings a tear to my eye.
It does. There are those artists that you listen to and just like, wow. Yeah. And that's one of them, definitely.
Yeah. So, as we start 2021... tripping into the Briar Patch and
wait a minute. Wax on, Brian. Wax on.
Okay, come back. Okay. So practical things to consider is, you know, as we start the new year, obviously for many people, there's still time to fund if you're eligible, a traditional or Roth IRA until you file your taxes. If you're a independent contractor like a real estate agent, then you can go beyond that and perhaps put in something called the SEP IRA and fund considerably more on a tax deductible basis. Your ability to, you know, go back and fund your simple IRAs and your 401ks, et cetera, that's all gone. Those are calendar year plans and your ability to fund them. And then considering if you don't have one in place, and you're a small business owner here, is getting something in place for yourself, for your employees, for your business, and making sure that, you know, you take advantage of the fact that the sun is shining and on the economy. And those are the times to make sure that you are using the profits that you're making, the salary, the income, the extras that you're making, and you're using that to build wealth, to provide yourself with emergency reserves now and a better quality of life financially later when you retire. That is the whole goal of financial planning, is protecting what you have now and accumulating more to have a better financial quality of life down the road for you, your spouse, and eventually perhaps to pass on something to your family. And that is the focus of what I do, taking the information at hand relative to the global and the domestic economy and investments and the know-how of how risk and returns and fees, tax strategies, estate planning strategies, retirement planning strategies for growth and for income all interweave into something that makes sense for you relative to your particular circumstance and your tolerance for risk, your wealth, and what your goals someday are going to, you know, want to come to, like I said, into fruition. And so part of your New Year's resolution, I'm sure, was partly that. I'm finally going to get around to doing some of those things or at least paying closer attention. Do it. It is highly important. For many people, it is the difference in what quality of life they will enjoy it down the road. I preach that so hard when I'm going into retirement plans to young people, saying what you do now will have a direct bearing on what financially your life will look like when you get down the road.
Right.
So everybody, please, please stay safe. continue to support your local businesses. And we'll look forward to catching up with you next week here on Sound Advice on Speak Out. Any questions on your mind relative to investing in the economy, always feel free to give a call in. Shoot me an email at bspringberg@sagepointadvisor.com or call the office at 855-9421.
And I'll catch up with you all tomorrow. Ron Gold on the show. We've got to go. Speak Out 2.0 is next. Stay with us.